Okay, let's see. Check, baby, check, baby. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, cool. I like that. That's not too bad. It's 6:08 on Friday night, y'all. 11/17/23. And we're celebrating a little bit because my poems book, the quarterly current events explained with irreverent poems, third quarter 2023, was just posted with the audiobook. So I might include the link in this when I post it on Buzzsprout. And Buzzsprout is kind of unique, right? The first month I had it, it seemed like it was going well. I was getting some traction. And maybe my show just sucks. The second month, though, I had it, you know, paying for it, I didn't really get a lot of listens. So now this is my third month, and I'll give it some more time. But because I really don't have anything else to now that I have another book, though, it's kind of cool because I can keep adding in more of the content. And speaking of, so I saw that Audible, which is the ACX, is what we use to upload, you know, find a narrator, is now going to be available in Brazil. I got an email and told me that, which made me think I might wind up getting this book. I might wind up just doing it because I'm motivated to do one language, get it, pay for it to get translated to Portuguese, and then narrated in Portuguese, and then try to. So I'm having success with those Facebook ads. I am okay. I don't know too much. I might have already said this, but I'm learning about the. I'm not selling a whole lot. I'm not selling any from the Facebook ads. I'm not sure what happened. I kind of got cut off there with my sound on the laptop. But I am getting a hell of a lot of clicks. And the way I'm targeting it is I'm targeting the airports, 12 airports, and just dudes. And I keep wanting to maybe target women just to give it a shot. And I might wind up doing it just for the hell of it. But maybe not on Saturday nights. I think I might target the women on the weekdays, but who knows, man. Excuse me. But anyways, I don't know which chapter to pick yet. Maybe I'll do a poem first. So I had some crazy shit happen with my girlfriend and her ex-husband who passed away. So let me go ahead and post the poem that I wrote about his death. And the poem wasn't exactly accurate, but I'll leave you with this before I let you listen to it. The guy's death certificate that finally came in, he died September 21st. And I didn't realize two things. I didn't realize the first one, they put in the cause of his death on his death certificate, he died from using cocaine. I didn't realize they did that. They called you out like that when you, and he didn't have a heart attack. He had done so much cocaine, his heart just stopped. So in other words, he had a broken heart, which is a whole nother sad situation. But I learned something else, which I'll come back and I'll tell you later on after. I'll go ahead and I'll play maybe one or two poems, and then I'll just pick a random chapter. And obviously you'll know what it is in the title. But thanks for coming back. Anybody that's still listening, if you're my only listeners, I really appreciate you. And I hope you're enjoying it. And have a good weekend. Like I said, TGIF. Peace.
Taking your life. The thing about taking your life, you leave behind a ton of strife. Many people you knew aged decades in five nights for you. Gets really bad these days. No one argues as he lays. Final time in your eyes? Can't care about his lies. If anyone earned it, it was him. We begged him to stop and slim. Way too much of this and that. She doesn't want to see how fat. Everyone is crying, all of his friends. No one thought his life would end. He's abused his full share, fully earned, laying there. His next life might be better. He didn't leave them a letter. He stayed true to September. The 21st they'll remember. Made enemies until the end. That's the clue he can send when it feels like they're crazy. Not expecting suicide is lazy. This guy couldn't get a grip. Whatever reasons he'd flipped, kept asking for money. 70K, 1 month, honey. Wanted ayahuasca in Peru. Climbed to the top of Machu Picchu. All for his birthday at 51. No one thought it sounded fun. Missed their last chance with him. No more last time. No more Slim. No one can stop crying. Everyone forgets the lying. But all your people are fucked. The rest of their lives are stuck. Beating themselves up over you. That's not what you meant to do. You just wanted to go home. Kids use a fine-tooth comb. Over everything you'd say or do, that's how they'll remember you. The pain and anguish you leave, it's too much for us to grieve. It attacks the entire crew. But that's not what you meant to do.
Chapter 1. She slept with her friend's dad. Everything is about sex, except sex. Larry Flint. Having patients using the SA app goes a long way, and this story demonstrates the payoff. If you don't get verified, you won't see or match with an entire population of women who are only visible after one takes that plunge. It costs a few bucks, and you'll keep seeing the reminders until you make the leap. Getting verified on a shady site by a shadier third party doesn't feel too great if you're concerned about privacy or were part of the Ashley Madison hack. But if you're sad and lonely, it doesn't matter to you, and it's totally worth it. Once I got verified, the filter blocked dozens of bots, escorts, and Kick chat room requests. At the time, the only dating app I found to avoid being targeted by cam bots and hookers was behind the verified paywall of the SA app. I urge the reader to be cool in your messages. Don't send dick pics, and don't ask for nudes without offering to pay. And don't act like offering to pay gets you whatever you want. If you act like a gentleman, you'll eventually meet some cool businesswomen and entrepreneurs. If you act like an ass, they'll flag and report you until getting kicked off the app. You're not going to meet every girl you start conversations with. They won't reply for days or weeks, even though you can see they're online. Don't annoy the ones who tell you no thanks. Just move on. What worked for me might not work for everyone, but I stayed in touch with several favorites who favorited me back for weeks or months. You probably don't want to be the first guy they meet on the site. Let them meet some real assholes first. My patience paid off one Saturday night at the beginning of the college football season. I remember the weather was starting to change. The Vegas desert air turned cool and crisp, reminding me of the gumbo season back home. I can still hear the announcer from the Gorman football stadium in my kitchen. Alabama was the biggest moneyline favorite on the board, so I bet against them, hoping for an SEC Saturday night underdog miracle. It was around the time Station Casinos released the first version of their betting app, and I made the wager while sitting at the red light. I was living a train wreck's dream, switching between the two most addictive apps available. I was only logged into the SA app a few minutes when that positive reinforcement green light popped up on her profile pic. We originally started chatting about 15 months before and still hadn't met, but stayed in touch with periodic notes. I was still on her favorites list, but had an eerie feeling that her account was hacked, and that was the reason for the random note. After a couple of messages back and forth, I was mostly confident that it was the same person and not a robot or catfish. We first favorited each other while I was sitting poolside on the roof of Saratoga Hotel in downtown Havana. Several tall blonde escorts were putting together a bachelor party of white dudes when my attention focused on Susie's profile. I'll tell the business story behind that trip in my next memoir, but I kept gravitating to her profile each time I'd log in. I knew the internet wasn't wonderful, but the hotel offered free Wi-Fi, and I tried it out. I could have been the target of a man-in-the-middle attack because the web pages were very slow to load and many failed. The more I learned about cybersecurity, the more I have memories of computer problems I didn't understand and dismissed.
You know, I've been bouncing around and I just realized that I didn't do the first one. And I need to kind of make sure I didn't do the first one. So I'm pulling up my Buzzsprout page now. And let's see, September 15th, I did chapter 16. Then I did it again on the 24th. Then I did chapter 5. I did chapter 3. I did chapter 12, 8, 2, 15, and 6. So I haven't done 1, 10, 11, 4, 13. So I still got like 4 or 5 more of these to do, which is cool because I plan on doing it. And you know, and I haven't told the guy, Ted Florendo, that I've been doing this yet, but I really should, man. This is, I finally hit number 10. This is the 10th podcast. But yeah, I think I may. Maybe I'll wait until I get them all done. But I hope y'all like that poem. I got two more. I'm probably, you know, it's just because it pops up in my life so much, it's easy for me to think about. But I got two more for the fourth quarter. And one dealing with his family, his sisters and whatnot. And then another one just kind of in the aftermath. It's been such a roller coaster of whatever, I couldn't believe that I didn't put the first one, the girl that I met. Yeah, that was a fun one. I don't want to get too much into it, but I got a chance to go. I guess I'll tell. I went to Havana via Cancun. I can't remember what year, 13 or 14 or 15, and Playa del Carmen, Tulum. It was a good time. We had some retail relationships with a guy who had a cousin, you know, a guy in Vegas, an Israeli guy in Vegas who had an Israeli cousin in Playa del Carmen. I can't think of his name either, Yohai or Yoran. And this dude met me for coffee at the Starbucks in Playa del Carmen, and it was like 150 degrees outside. It was so hot. And he wore a Speedo bathing suit with no shirt. And I was sweating my ass off anyway. But this guy was carrying his wallet and cell phone and a Speedo bathing suit. But everybody knew him because he was the landlord. So as we walked from the Starbucks to where I got in my shuttle to go back to Cancun, everybody knew him. But that was after I went to Havana. I went to Havana for a couple of nights, and I had hired a translator and a driver to take me around and meet some restaurant and bar owners to talk about doing daiquiri bars. And then they gave me a hard time getting out. I feel like I talked about this already, but maybe not. This would be a cool topic for a podcast. But yeah, if anybody's got any questions, that was a neat trip getting out of the Havana airport because I'd only been there 2 nights, and explaining that to the security guards was, it took me like an hour. It was a good thing I got there early. Okay, anyways, I'm going to play some more of that first chapter, and then I might go find another poem. I don't know if I played the one about the aliens, so maybe I'll play that one. Even if I did, I'll play it again. It was not my favorite one. I think the dog's my favorite one, but the aliens was cool. All right, thank you. Peace.
She stood out because most of her pics were partial nudes of her with other girls. I had trouble deciphering who she was at first, but figured it out around the 10th pic. I only needed to look at her profile for a few moments before my dick would get hard. There's no way I was the only dude who saw her pics and jerked off. Since I couldn't navigate to other profiles, it was easier to get off swiping through her profile pics than trying to load new videos. I left the pool and went back to my room, and then my messages started coming through and the web pages refreshed. The internet worked better inside. She was a busy young lady. Traveled a bunch between San Francisco, Vegas, and Berlin as a pre-med student. She seemed kind of snobbish when explaining why she was studying medicine abroad. She said nothing in the States satisfied her. We kept missing each other after I got back to LV, but stayed in touch enough so that hearing from her that night was thrilling. Then, knowing she was down to meet was beyond awesome. The annoyance of being stood up subsided once we had a chat history. She was born and raised in the Bay Area, lifelong 49ers fan with a huge crush on Joe Montana. She didn't like going back home because of family drama, and her heart was set on leaving for medical school abroad. She used Google Translate and Rosetta Stone for months before fully immersing and switching her phone language to German. She went on and on about how soon she'd be learning from the smartest doctors in the world. Part of me thinks I'm mostly addicted to meeting women who had plans for their life. The sex was a side benefit of meeting ass-kicking name-takers who wanted what they wanted. I couldn't wait to finally meet and offered to send her an Uber, but she declined. We agreed on dinner at Tommy Bahama's in Town Square for 8. She lived close by and wouldn't take long to get there. I wanted to get there early to grab a good seat at the bar and watch the game, so I jumped in the shower and rolled out. By 8:30, she hadn't arrived, but texted she was on the way. The familiarity of being stood up crept back, and I almost ordered dinner, expecting to be alone. Another 15 minutes passed, and she didn't show, so I called, and she answered quickly. As soon as I heard the first couple of words, this alcoholic, bar-owning, wannabe author could tell she'd had a few drinks already. She kept commenting on my southern accent, giggling on the other end of the line after I said, "Yes, ma'am." I love it when the girls like my voice. It turns me on. And I try to keep it up when I see the smiles, especially after they have some drinks. These fantasies are two-way streets, so if they think they're fucking Harry Connick Jr., I'd hate to get in the way. I offered to send the Uber, but she wanted me to come pick her up, so I asked for the bill and was ready to split. She had a raspy, sexy, Punky Brewster-ish voice, like she'd been screaming at the Britney Spears concert all weekend. I could hear the booze in her voice, but she wasn't an annoying drunk. I needed some fun and was cool with tipsy because I hadn't had sex in several months since Melissa moved back home. I was hoping she'd come back, and each time she'd drunk FaceTime me late at night and talk about coming back, she wouldn't follow through in the days afterwards. It happened nearly every weekend, but I was ready to turn off my phone and unload in someone new. The Alabama game was lame, but I was winning my bet, so I parlayed that optimism and told her I'd pick her up in 10 minutes. She sent me her location, and I headed south of Town Square and a block east of the Strip before the Suncoast. I'm familiar with this area of town because it was booming with young ladies using dating apps, mostly brand new to town. She lived in an apartment community that had a side exit driveway, and I pulled up to be out of the street while I waited. She walked out the gate, and I jumped out to open the door, noticing her sexy calves first. We had a moment to size each other up, and she was every inch as gorgeous as she sounded. Her long legs were lit up by the streetlights as she pulled them inside the car, crossing them enough to show me her fluorescent green panties before I closed the door. When I got back in the car and said good evening, she blushed and asked me to keep talking so she could hear my accent. It's tough taking seriously the compliments of drunk people. I could smell the vodka fumes on her breath, the same fumes the drunks never notice. I could tell she was being sincere. I can handle the cool drunks, but the arrogant ones who keep repeating themselves drive me crazy. When I told her I didn't drink but smoked weed all day, her face lit up. She turned to me and grabbed my arm, asked if we could skip going to dinner and go get stoned and order a pizza at my house instead. She was quick to offer that she didn't need to drink anymore, especially not alone. She'd be cool smoking and ordering pizza. I loved this idea since I wanted to watch the end of the game and lay on my couch. The ride to my house was fun. She's a smart and funny guy's gal who never thought she'd be living in Vegas. The only reason she was there was temporary hiding after falling in love with the wrong guy. She told me her life story in the 15 minutes it took to get to the Russell exit. Her best friend's dad confessed he'd had a crush on her the previous Christmas Eve. She had a crush too, and they started an affair that recently became public when her friend and his wife slash her mom's friend all found out at dinner. It was a twisted story I kept attributing to rich white people's problems, and I'll do zero justice trying to retell details. Despite the fuzzy yet shocking memories of her story, I do remember thinking there was a movie script hidden in there.
Mexican aliens. Mexican government announced today for real the existence of two aliens, admitting they broke the seal. An entire country of good folks don't know what to think. When it comes to this topic, our attention spans shrink. Who are these aliens? Where are they from? What are they doing? Why did they come? Did they get here by accident? Did they get here alone? Did they land in the jungle, hunted by Sylvester Stallone? They keep wondering if connected to old politicians clamming up. They lose their train of thought at a vast cover-up. I don't want to be mean, but we really need to know. How many are living amongst us? I'm spreading out that dough. No history we've been told comes close to being true. There's so much we don't know. Neighbors, give us a clue. To the biggest of puzzles, why are we here? Beings from other dimensions? Please be more clear. There might be as many as 70 different species. Not knowing who is who, we're looking like lychees. What's their evolution story? Is it more simply laid out, or does it get complicated? What's this comet all about? Maybe Nishimura is coming to destroy us all, resetting life on Earth, new episodes this fall. But the part that keeps tripping me up each time I think, what's up with multidimensional? Is that why they shrink? Many instances of now exist all the time in the same time. Then why can't we get to a life without Republican crime?
The real-life consequences of dads banging their daughters' girlfriends turn into heartbreak and co-signing Vegas apartment leases. He's now paying for her to live in Vegas and for medical school when she moves to Berlin. She asked if I understood why she needed to move so far away, and I agreed that it made sense. Even if it was all a show, she was trying to convince herself this move was for the best. She'd given herself few options by fucking her friend's real dad and realized that. He's also paying for his own daughter to finish school without her best friend. We got back to my house, rolled a fat joint, and ordered a pizza from Marco's because I knew they were the fastest. She didn't care where I ordered from, which was so cool to hear. I remember her laying on my floor and rolling around on the ottomans while I kept staring at her ass. She had a neat accent that I couldn't place. Kind of British, kind of Israeli, but she wasn't from either place, so I brushed it off. I was more focused on her Lululemon yoga pants and cute tight white top squeezing her big boobs. She didn't stop smiling and kept apologizing for being drunk after getting stoned and feeling paranoid in a stranger's house. As the night wore on, and we talked more and more, I realized I wouldn't be banging her that night. I was still sad from that unusual set of circumstances, and went from smiling to frowning after the pizza showed up. I was winning my bet, and the pizza hit the spot while she was yawning with pepperoni hanging out of her mouth. I felt satisfied that I'd finally met a cool gal, and I was sure I'd see again. We could smoke and watch football anytime. The sex could wait. I wasn't expecting again to happen the next morning. She sent me the most sensual text saying she'd had a dream about me and that I needed to come pick her up. She said that she should have spent the night listening to my accent while fucking me over and over. I was paralyzed for about 10 minutes and shocked because of how the night before ended up. After I got home from dropping her off, I got another drunk FaceTime from Melissa, so if she had slept over, I would have had to make a decision that might have hurt one of their feelings. I sped back to the South Strip, picked her up, and sped back to my house. We walked into my kitchen and straight upstairs to have some of the most intense sex of my life. This was before I got my puppies and didn't need to worry about hiding them. It was also the first time I used a phone to make a sex tape, which was hotter than I imagined. I didn't save the videos and deleted them shortly afterward, but her wanting me to film her sucking my dick still turns me on. I had trouble holding my phone steady while banging her from behind, but I was also exhausted by the time she let me. She was the first girl I used the Cuban Viagra with, the ones I'd bought at the airport on the way home. They made me sweat like it was August in the French Quarter, but it was also a result of the physical exercise. I didn't want this sexual experience to end. She stayed all day, and my erection lasted for hours. Using condoms was never easier. It felt good knowing we both wanted more of each other, even if temporary. It kept getting me hard. I couldn't stop sweating, and we took several showers together. Her boobs were always in my face. I miss my open bedroom and bathroom, walking naked between the two after fucking to wash off. I often rethink the way she left that evening, which she insisted on getting her own Uber and walking down the block to get picked up. At the time, it seemed like she was embarrassed, like a walk of shame that didn't make sense. Then I wondered if she was protecting my privacy by not entering my address in her app in case someone checked her account. Maybe she needed to walk it off and pass some gas away from me before getting in the car. We hung out a few more times after that, and then she left for school and I hadn't heard from her since. I do think about her and that weekend often, but I don't have her number saved anymore. It's easy for me to get hard when I remember how turned on I was when she asked me to come back to pick her up. Letting me know she had a dream about me, then letting me bang her all Sunday, was like a dream come true.
Bad kids from badder parents. We can't blame the kids for seeking attention. We can blame the parents lacking consideration. Kids are a mini mirror, images of you, not to mention growing and learning too. They mimic your worst, but not one-to-one. They amplify the content 100 times the fun. Like concentrating sunlight causes some smoke. Kids are watching you fail, thinking you're a joke. They say they don't wanna act like mom or dad, but then they start acting just like mom and dad. We were kids once, but none of you remember how you followed the rules until becoming a bartender. Apples don't fall too far from the trees. We know they're gonna do just what they please. If you're not there, the YouTube won't stop, especially if you're being pulled over by a cop. They keep asking for new squishmallows. You might be struggling and dreading tomorrows. How many of you can still hear Cocomelon jingles, cringe-inducing fear? If you're still looking for Taylor Swift tickets, I feel for you, buddy, Jiminy Crickets. If they've got cavities, eat popsicles for dinner. It won't be rewarded or declared the winner. You know, it's not really as bad as it seems, until you see a roach and a little kid screams. I wish the future were as bright as you think, but it's not even close. Might go to the clink. And you're stuck with a bill you might not want to pay for a kid you didn't want after a mediocre day. Living ain't easy for anyone these days. Want to know who's having fun? Those motherfucking gays.